Tomorrow at this time, I'm making way for the opener of your Minnesota Twins. And it is the first time this season that we get a chance to visit with our friend and say on air congratulations to the play-by-play of your Minnesota Twins, Chris Atterbury. Chris, congratulations, my friend. How you been?
Hey, I've been great. I literally just walked into my hotel room in Kansas City, been out at the ballpark. Beautiful. Team's in a good mood. And beans don't burn on the grill, I believe, was the next line of that song.
I believe. I was so rude to interject and give my thoughts. And welcome you back to the show. I'm curious, now with your new role, and well-deserved, and we're just all so happy with this, what changes for your day-to-day? Like, what's your prep change now given the new role of the play-by-play side of this?
It's a lot easier, actually, because in my old role, I kind of prepped as if I was going to be doing a game anyway, but then I also had to pre-produce a lot of stuff, had to, you know, time out a lot of stuff. You had to gather a lot of interviews, a lot of sound. And the biggest change is if I was doing a show on Tuesday, you know, and I was going to talk to Pablo Lopez and Ryan Jeffers about how his changeup's moving. Well, as soon as I got that done, I had to think about who I was going to have for the next 3 days. So I was, you're always having to work ahead. So now it's literally my job is I focus on what happens after they say play ball. You know, I have a conversation with Rocco, and then they say play ball, and then the game takes us where we go, and I try not to lose it. So it's actually easier in a sense, just because logistically it's easier. And then you just kind of get into the game and you flow from there. So still a lot of time, but it's all the fun parts of the job when you're prepping to do a game.
Well, knowing when you've had to step in on a last minute notice, like for example, last year, if I recall, a connection issue, and all of a sudden you're doing play by play based on what you're seeing on a television set. And it seemed like you were in the ballpark with the team, so you certainly were well prepared in that moment. I have no doubt this season's just going to be such a delight hearing you do this play-by-play once they say play ball. And that's what everybody's waiting for tomorrow, man. I mean, it's here. The season gets underway. I'm curious what you expect the stories that are going to shape the first couple of weeks of the season.
That's a really good question, and I'm excited to play. I think we know what the stories are that all the writers are going to hammer on. It's going to be, oh, my gosh, who's going to pitch when in the bullpen? You know, who's going to pitch the ninth? Who's going to pitch the eighth? Byron's back and healthy, you know, those are all legit stories. The story that I think and I hope we will look back on in the first 2 weeks of the season and be talking about is just how calmly confident and successful this team is. They've got a great vibe about it, and not like a hype vibe or a false hustle vibe, but just kind of a collective sense that they think they're pretty good and they are pretty good and let's go out and prove it. And I think that that's going to be the story. It's going to be, wow, we lost all those guys and we were still pretty good. But it does. I mean, that's going to be the big one is the bullpen, right? Yeah. If we're in a one run game tomorrow, and depending on who comes in, you know, is it Stewart? Is it Jax? And if it doesn't work out, people are going to lose their minds and everybody gets that. That's just kind of comes with the territory. And then the other thing is offensively, I think having Buck and Royce and Carlos together in the lineup pretty much every day. Is this an offense that consistently is a 6-7 runs a game? I mean, is this offense going to be the high functioning machine that we saw for parts of last season? And I believe it will. I think this is going to be a really good offensive club this year. And I think it's going to be a better offensive team in every way. I think they'll hit more home runs. I think they'll steal more bases. I think they'll strike out less. And I think that they will be a real problem for pitching staffs.
I'm curious, when you talk about the confidence, saying, we lost all those guys and we're still good. Let me just ask you your opinion on this. You know, the success that they had last season, the fun that they brought to the fan base here. I mean, being at Target Field, you know, for that playoff, you know, opener there, it was electric. People around here, they wouldn't stop talking about the Twins. I mean, it was scheduled programming for people that might have been shy to watch baseball for quite some time or listen to it here on KFGO. Does that confidence, because, hey, we were there, it was fun, does that carry over even after the loss of those guys? Or is it just, look, the offseason, we've gotten to know each other, we enjoy each other's company, that we just know that we still have the it factor?
I think it carries over. I think they've got confidence. I think while we as fans look at who we didn't sign or who didn't come back, they as players look around the room at who's coming. Full season of Eddie, full season of Wally, full season of Buck, you know, full season of Royce. None of these guys have ever had a full season, you know, together. So I think they look around at what they've got going and what they were building, and I think they're supremely confident in themselves because of that. And I think they probably should be. But to your point, last year, I remember when I was out in your neck of the woods for Caravan, I asked people who had actually been to one of the playoff games to stand up, and more than half the room stood up. Mm-hmm. I mean, so you guys were committed. I mean, fans in Fargo and all over Twins territory, they felt it. They felt the ripple effect all the way out across the state line. And now that's the job of this team, is to carry on with that. I think it goes without saying that it helps if you get a good hot start. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not going to be front page news for the first month or so of the season. They always say you can't win it in the first month, but you can certainly lose it. So let's go ahead and play good, solid baseball. I think if we're talking best case scenario, I tell you, this is how I dream it at night when I put my head on the pillow. Royce Lewis has the ability to be the kind of charismatic face of the franchise superstar that isn't just a big deal in the Twins territory, but he's in a big deal everywhere. Mm-hmm. He's just that kind of guy and that kind of talent. If he gets off to a hot start, I think that's when we'll see the thing roll. Because it can't be manufactured, right? You can't tell fans to get behind a guy. You can't tell fans to get behind a team. It has to be organic. And I think he's so genuine in everything he does, and he's so talented and so charismatic, that I think if he gets off to a hot start and the team with him, I think we'll have those fans right back as excited as they were last fall.
Chris Atterbury is our guest, play-by-play for Minnesota Twins. You'll be hearing that game tomorrow right here during Afternoons Live. And you got that sense at the end of last season with Royce. I mean, being there at that moment, you know, connecting, and everybody's looking around, and I know that this might not be a universal opinion, but they're like, this is Royce's team now. It was some of the comments I was hearing from people in the stands, and of course, we brought a bus down to that first playoff game, and everybody on the bus ride back says, we're going back to the next one, right? We're going to do this again. So I think that buzz is still there to see, okay, where are we going to pick up? Is it going to be where we left off? With some of the departures, are we setting back? And injuries, of course, is something that every team deals with. But there was that sense, I think, over the last 2 weeks, Chris, in this area of like, oh, of course, here we go again when it comes to injuries. Give us the latest on this. I know the bullpen having a large impact here. But, I mean, are we talking duration here? I mean, this is going to be a long-felt injury when you have some people starting on the list?
Well, I mean, I'd rather have them hurt now than in September is what I would say. So Caleb Thielbar, I think, will be back fairly short-term. His arm hasn't been affected at all, and the hamstring continues to get better. He's working out. So I don't think Caleb will be down for too long. I don't think Topo will be down for too long. Durans is an oblique, which is always tricky, and they can either be fairly normal or they can linger. And I just don't know with him. I don't know how he heals. I know that he's a big, giant dude who throws the ball 100 million miles an hour, and there's a lot of torque involved in that. So I don't know if that means he's more liable to heal faster or not. I have no clue. But he's obviously the big one, and my point is just let's not push him. Yeah. Let's not push him back to try to save a game in the middle of April and cost you games in June and July. The goal has to be to get as much Jhoan Duran as possible. And if that means we have to wait a little while, then we wait a little while. And again, that gets back to the idea that this is a team that's got some depth to it and that they can pick up the slack for him till he's ready to roll. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned Buxton. And of course I've seen headlines going, hey, he's younger now than he was last year, given, I mean, his physical ability to come on back and be ready for the season. How's it been just watching him get ready for the season, knowing that, I mean, as far as a fan watching and wanting Buxton in that lineup, we didn't get as much of him last year as we all wanted.
I think we're all going to be delighted to see him run out to center field in the bottom of the first tomorrow. And he more so than anybody. Except maybe Rocco. He changes everything. And this camp was great to see him every day, to talk with him, how relaxed he is, the smile on his face. And then the moment that stands out from spring training for me, early in camp, we were doing a game and there was a liner in the gap. Then you thought, oh my, he might die for this. because it's a ball he catches and basically nobody else catches during the regular season. And he let it bounce and he played it cautiously. It was like one of the first games. And then about halfway through camp, similar play, and you're thinking, well, he's not going to dive. And he dives headlong and he makes the play. And you're like, okay, Byron's back. He loses the sunglasses. He hops up. He couldn't quit smiling. You know, he had the game with two triples. I don't think he got it out of second gear on the first triple or third gear on the second triple. But then he hit a little infield squibber with a runner at third, and or he needed to stay out of a double play to make a run score. And then he went to the afterburners, and it's like, okay, yep, he's got it all. I don't think about him health-wise at all, and that's the best part. And as you mentioned, people thinking it's Royce's team. The beauty of this is that it's not any one person's team. Byron is so good in that locker room and so well-respected, but he's not a guy who seeks out the limelight. Carlos Correa is so polished and good in front of the cameras and in the locker room, takes a lot of that pressure off Byron. They both take the pressure off Royce, who, when he's put in the limelight, is a natural. So there's a lot of guys in that room who can share the spotlight, share the leadership duties, and those are the best teams. Mm-hmm. A team that has one leader, probably not going to do too much. A team that has, you know, shared leadership and respect and mutual respect, that's a team that can do some damage. And you know, I was talking with Danny today. We're sitting in the dugout, and he just looked at me, and he's like, you know what, I like this group. And Danny doesn't throw compliments around haphazardly. Mm-hmm. I agree with him. I like this group a lot.
Well, we're excited to be hearing you give that play-by-play, the details, everything that we can't see, we can hear through the picture that you paint for us, Chris. And we're going to be making way for you tomorrow, and we can't wait to be joining you every Tuesday during this time and just getting caught up on the week that was with your Minnesota Twins. Final word goes to you, my friend, and then I'll let you go.
No, it's great to be back. Obviously, I have a soft spot in my heart for all of Fargo, except for when the Bison beat the Bobcats. And I love the passion of the fans out there. I think they're super knowledgeable. And like I said, the onus is now on us to give you guys something to be excited about. And I'll get those brushes ready, and hopefully we'll paint some pictures for you tomorrow.
Well, hey, we'll be here for it, my friend. We'll be listening. You take care till next week, all right?
I see
you. Yeah, you bet. Chris Atterbury, studio. No, nay, check that. Play-by-play now of your Minnesota Twins. You can catch him taking over. The first pitch is going to be about 3:10 tomorrow. Pregame is at 2:30 right here on your home for Twins, KFGO.